All right. Good morning. Welcome once again to River West Church. Great to have you this morning. Welcome back if you were here on Easter Sunday last week. We had a great week, and we actually began a series of sermons last Sunday on Easter Sunday called How to Begin Again. So technically, this is our second installment in that series. But you know, last Sunday, we just focused on Jesus, the risen Lord, because it's Easter. And that is a great launch, because if there's anything that's about new beginning, it's about Christ being risen and being the Lord of our lives. And so that's a beautiful thing. But we're excited to move forward and to see how the Lord will work in our lives through this series. And I have great expectations for it. But we're going to root ourselves in the Bible. So if you have a Bible, open up to Mark chapter 1. You can raise your hand if you don't have a Bible with you and you'd like to read along. You can take that Bible home with you and read it on the printed page. We always encourage you to do that. We're in Mark chapter 1 as we get going in this series on how to begin again. Gospel of Mark. From the opening sentence to the final lines of the Gospel of Mark, every page is really filled with the promise of new beginning. The whole thing. From beginning to end. That's the way the gospel works. The very first word in the Gospel of Mark is the word beginning. Beginning. That's the first word in the gospel. You can find it right there. Just open up to Mark chapter 1 and verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Well, there it is. You know, the word beginning shows up at a lot of key places in the Bible, like in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? It's a big word in the Bible. And depending on how we read this in Mark, when it says the beginning of the gospel, we might think that what Mark is doing is just saying, well, this is how it starts. This is the beginning. Let me tell you a story, and it starts like this. And that could be all that he's trying to say. But more likely, he's taking it a little deeper than that. Maybe what he's saying is, this gospel that I'm going to write, this gospel record, these 16 chapters are just the beginning of the gospel. Because when you get to chapter 16, after Christ goes to the cross to die for our sins, and he's raised up on the third day, that's not the end of the story. That's actually just the beginning of the story. So this whole thing is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus. And that story goes on even to this day. And it's amazing. The word gospel, it means good news, right? Most people know that. It means good news. You know the difference between news and advice? It's an important distinction. Good advice is, hey, you got to do this, 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 and this. That's good advice. Good news is an announcement about something that has happened that's all important. And that's what the gospel is. It's an announcement about God breaking into this world in Jesus Christ and doing something amazing. And that's why it's a new beginning. It's powerful. So that's the way Mark begins. But you know, when you go all the way to the end of the Gospel of Mark and you get to that Easter Sunday and you get to that empty tomb, you have the message that the women were given in the tomb. And what you find is, in those final lines, you find a promise of new beginning. You see it at the end as well. In fact, let's go and review. This was from last Sunday in Mark chapter 16. The message given to the women in the tomb that Jesus Christ is risen, that he is alive. And then it says in verse 7, but go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Well, what is that if it's not the promise of a new beginning? He says, tell them to get up there to Galilee. You're going to see me up there. tell Peter. And who's Peter? Well, Peter is the guy who was the major screw-up of the gospel. Modern translation. He's the epic failure. He's the guy who denied Jesus after proclaiming that he would die with Jesus. Of course, they all said that, but Peter really said it. He's the guy who's so filled with guilt and shame and self-loathing and disappointment that he can't find the way forward in his life. And Jesus says to that guy, he says, I'm going to go before you. I'm going to meet you. I have an appointment with you. I'm going to give you a new beginning in your life. How cool is that? And so here's what I find. This is what's fascinating to me about the Gospel of Mark and this promise of new beginning. It's a promise that's for all of us. It's for each one of us in this room. Every one of us. You could be a newcomer to faith, a newcomer to church. You might have just come first time this week or maybe on Easter Sunday. And you say, well, I'm new to all this. I don't really know that much. Well, that's okay. As a matter of fact, I have a promise for you. It's a promise of new beginning. It's the gospel promise, and it's for your life. God wants to do something dramatic in your life. Or you could be the seasoned disciple who's been around these parts for a while. And you say, well, yeah, I actually know something about Jesus. I've studied the gospel, and I've been at church, and I've actually been a follower of Christ. Oh, well, that's the way Peter was. But every one of us fails. Every one of us comes up short in life. And so that promise of new beginning is so precious for all of us because we all need to hear it in our lives. And you know, in this, Mark is actually an echo of what we find throughout the Bible. The promise of new beginning is everywhere in Scripture. In fact, our church, the name of our church, comes from a verse in the book of Isaiah that is all about new beginning. I'm going to read it to you. You say, River West Church, what is that? It sounds like a bank. River West. Down on McAdam, there's River West Chiropractic Office that I often pass. I go, what is the river in River West? Well, now you know. It's Isaiah 43 in verse 18. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. That's a promise from the Old Testament, before Jesus. Throughout the Bible, there are these promises of new beginning over and over again. God says, don't worry about the past. I've got something for your future. Now, I like the sound of that in my life. And it's one of the reasons why, as a pastor, I have hope when people come to me and share with me their difficulties and their failures. You know, as a pastor, oftentimes people come to pastors and they tell their story and they share their challenges and they talk about the sin in their life. It happens all the time. And sometimes people come to me and they say, Pastor, I don't know how you do it. You know, all the time you're just diving into people's lives and the hurt and the challenges, and there's just so much. How do you do that? And you know what the answer is? The promise of new beginning. See, I have hope. In every situation, there's always hope in Christ. That's the miracle of the empty tomb. That's the message of Easter. That's the promise of new beginning. And so I have hope, and I've seen it. I've seen it. At work in so many lives. Beautiful. But here's something else, something that I've learned in my own life. I've learned to view my own life as a steady stream of new beginnings. It's just a life perspective. I want you to consider this for a minute. You know, when I was a young man and I came to faith in Christ, it was a new beginning for me. Just like the Bible says, in 2 Corinthians 5:7, that if any person be in Christ, they're a new creation. The old is past, the new has come. It's a new beginning. And I experienced that in my life in a dramatic way when I first came to faith in Christ. Beautiful. And it wasn't long after that that I met my wife and I got married. And I thought, hey, this is like a new beginning. It's something new in life. Comes with its own set of challenges, of course. And then it wasn't long after that when we had our first child. And I went, well, this is new. It's a new beginning. Now, you know how this story is going to go, right? And just down the line. And then it was child number two. And then it was child number three. And I'm like, well, this is new. I got three kids now. And starting a ministry, which was new. And then moving around in our church locations, we probably moved 20 times. And every time it's like, this is new, this is new, this is new. And I begin to realize, you know, it's almost like there's so many seasons of life. There's so many things. How are you going to view those things? The kids grew up and they moved away, empty nest. And I said, it's a new beginning. Awesome. Then they moved back. And I went, I don't know about this. Then come the grandkids. And so you know how the story goes, right? Because every one of you, you're at some point in that stream of life, and it might not be marriage for you, or it might not be family, but it doesn't matter. You have your story in your own life. And there were times throughout my story, there have been many times, when I've felt like, I don't actually know if I can handle what's going on right now. I mean, I don't know. This is new, and that doesn't necessarily mean easy. This is new, and it's a new challenge. This is new, and I have to grow in some way in order to sort of enter into this thing, and I don't know how to do it. So new doesn't always mean easy in life. And there were times when I felt like, I don't know if I can really do this. And so I began to do something in my life, which I still do up to this day. And that is, when I get to a point and I go, man, I just don't know if I can handle this, here's what I do. I sit down and I think, what if I could just start over right now? What if I could just clean the slate and have a new beginning, brand new beginning, start fresh right now? What if I could do that? And then I think, I can. Why can I? Because of the gospel of Christ. Because Jesus said, I go before you. I will lead the way. And I've learned to look at my life as a series of new beginnings. And it's a life perspective. What if you had that perspective in your life? You know, that's a faith perspective. It's a Christian faith perspective, and it's powerful in life. So here we are. We're going to talk about this for the next 4 weeks. Today and four more weeks, we're going to talk about how to begin again. Now, you say, well, why do you have to have 5 whole weeks on that? I'll tell you why. Because there's a lot to it. There's actually a lot to this. And you get started, and then you go, well, what then? What happens next? What are the components of a new beginning that actually allow you to stay in that new beginning, to build on that new beginning? We're going to talk about all that stuff in the next 5 weeks. I'm excited about it. This morning, we're going to start in Mark chapter 1 with one of the greatest stories of new beginning in the whole Bible. So back to Mark chapter 1. It's our gospel of new beginning. We're going to read a story. It's a story of new beginning, and it's very powerful. It's Mark chapter 1. We'll start in verse 39, the story of the cleansing of the leper. Mark 1:39. Jesus went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. And then a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. And moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. But he went out and began to talk freely about it. and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. Jesus said, "You don't tell a soul." Right, like that's going to happen. Like this guy who just got healed of the most dreaded disease in the ancient world is going to be able to just go his way and pretend like nothing happened to anyone. It's not going to happen. Anyway, people are going to see him and go, "Isn't that the guy that had leprosy? He looks kind of new today." Not going to happen. It's an amazing story. It's a beautiful story. It's a powerful story. Here's step number one in a new beginning, to experience the power of a new beginning. Step number one is you have to come as you are. You have to come as you are. Step number one is coming with a humble heart. Coming and being honest about your need. Coming and asking Jesus to do a work in your life. That's the starting place of new beginning. One of the reasons this story of the leper is so powerful is because this man's great need was so obvious to everyone around him. This man has leprosy. Now, in our culture today, leprosy is not such a big thing, though in certain parts of the world it is. But in the ancient world, it was the most dreaded thing that could happen to you was to contract this disease. It's a disease of the skin. I mean, everybody can see it. And we know that there's a range of skin disorders that could have been labeled with the word leprosy in the ancient world. But let's go with the one that's most well-known, most traditional. We think of leprosy. There's a Christian doctor named Dr. Brandt who ministered amongst lepers who began to unravel the mystery of what was going on with that disease. And what he found was it wasn't just an infection of the skin, but that it impacted the nervous system so that feeling began to be lost in the extremities, different parts of the skin. And so what would happen to the leper is the leper would injure themselves over and over again. Dr. Brandt saw a young man turning a key, a rusty key, to get into a door. And as he turned it, it wasn't moving, and he just turned and he just sliced his hand open with this thing, just sliced it to ribbons, and he didn't even know it. And he began to put it together and say, "Wait a minute now, there's something happening here in the nervous system." So that the lepers would injure themselves over and over again, and those injuries would become infected, and they would lose limbs. They would be people that you didn't want to look at because just of the way that they looked. And so this disease was so feared in the ancient world, and it was even more than that. These people were ostracized from the community. So when a person was a leper, they had to cry out unclean to the people around them, which didn't just mean that they needed to take a bath. What it meant was it was a religious thing. It's like that these people were unholy, that they had to be excluded from the community. They were ritually unclean. They were filled with shame. Maybe we have a tiny glimpse into their experience. If you go all the way back to the book of Leviticus, I can just read you this. Chapter 13 and verse 45, the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose and shall cover his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." So it was almost like a visible sign. I mean, you could see from a distance, this person has their clothing all torn and their hair is wild and they're walking around like this. And if anyone gets near, they're yelling out, "Unclean, unclean." That's this guy. He's coming toward Jesus. It's that moment when you made the wrong decision and you went to that meeting even though you were sick. And when you get to the meeting, everybody knows, they can tell you're sick. Ever been that guy? You just didn't want to skip work, so you come. And you're sniffling, and you got Kleenex, you're falling out of your pocket, and you're trying, no, I'm not sick. I'm not sick. And people in the room are like stepping back from you. It's that moment when you get on the airplane and you're sitting there and there's an empty seat next to you. And then the person comes down the aisle and they're sicker than a dog. And they sit next to you and they're sneezing and they've got the barf bag out in front of them. And everybody around is just like this, you know. It's like, it's that moment, right? Only times 10,000. And that's the situation that this man was in. But now, he just comes. He just comes to Jesus. See, he can't clean his life up. He can't pretend it's not happening. He can't dress himself up, cover the thing up. He can't do it. There's no remedy. It's just, he's just going to come as he is to Jesus. And you can imagine the crowd parting. It's like, what? What? People are stepping back, and this guy walks up to Jesus. It's just, come as you are. That's the first step. But when you do, something amazing begins to happen. And that's the gospel of Jesus. I was preaching the word, Sunday sermon, much like this. And after the sermon and the final song, right then, a guy walked in the back door of the church. And it was a guy that goes to our church, but he wasn't there for the service, but he showed up at the very end. And he came in and he walked directly to me. Tears were in his eyes. He said, Pastor, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against my wife and my family, and I've sinned against God. And he just began to weep. And we went off to the side, and he told me what had happened. He told me of the adultery in his life. And it was devastating. And it was amazing. It was powerful. You know why? Because he just walked in. Just as he was, he just walked in. He wasn't trying to hide. He wasn't trying to blame. He wasn't trying to pretend. He just walked in and said, this is what's going on. This is who I am. And I need you to pray for me. I need you to help me. That was the beginning of a journey. It wasn't an easy journey. It wasn't a short journey. But it was a journey of new beginning. And there was forgiveness and healing and restoration and a whole new life. And the marriage was saved. And it was amazing. And I know that doesn't always happen like that. But I'm here to tell you that it did. It did. And you know what the first step was? Come as you are. Just come. One of the most beautiful things about this story is that there was nothing this man could do by himself to rescue himself. Nothing. It was beyond him to do that. And here's what you find in the Gospel of Mark. The first three big stories in the Gospel of Mark, I mean, where it's elaborated, you know, a few verses at least, not just a summary, like Jesus healed a bunch of people. Anytime the action slows down and it sort of zooms in, what you find is something intense. The first one is a demon-possessed guy. I mean, this guy is possessed by demonic forces, okay? So this the guy is, like, gone. There's nothing he can do. He's at the mercy of another power. The second guy is the leper. And the leper is unclean. He's ostracized. He has a disease. It's incurable. Nothing can help him. Can't help himself. And the next guy is in chapter 2, and it's the story of the paralytic, this paralyzed guy, and his friends carry him on the mat. Remember that story? They carry him on the mat. They can't get to Jesus because the house is too crowded. They go up on the roof. They break the roof. They lower him down on the mat in front of Jesus. And Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. And the people can't believe it. Like, how can he say that? How can he forgive sins? Well, the paralyzed guy, he's in the same boat. There's nothing he can do. See what I'm saying? It's like every illustration that's given is an illustration of a situation where a self-help book isn't going to cut it. A new beginning in the Christian faith isn't about what we're able to orchestrate by our own wisdom, our own efforts, or with a self-help book. It's about the power of Christ coming into a situation. Now, here's the thing I love about the story about the paralytic. You can go read it later today. But the thing that I love about it is that Jesus, what Jesus does is he uses something that we can see in order to show us something that we can't see. Because they wanted the guy to be healed of his paralysis, but Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. He kind of switched the topic. Why did he do that? Because Jesus is using something we can see to make a point about something we can't see. You know, that's what all the miracles are really about. There's always a deeper meaning. There's always something going on. It becomes a picture of something. Jesus is showing this paralyzed guy, that's a problem. It's a physical problem. But he has an even deeper problem than that. And it's a problem of sin in his life. It's a problem that we all have in our lives. And Jesus wants to get to the root problem. So like if you come and you say, Pastor, I want a new beginning in my life, you need to know Jesus, he wants to get to the root problem. He wants to get to the root of things because that's where change actually happens, is at root level. Now, the people looked at the paralyzed guy, they didn't say, oh, he's a horrible sinner. They didn't know, but Jesus knows. Jesus knows. Jesus knows our guilt. He knows our shame. He knows our bondage. It's all right. You can come. Come to the Lord Jesus just as you are. That's where everything begins. Here's step two in the process of new beginning for your life. Step two is take your eyes off yourself and put them on to Jesus. That's step two. Take your eyes off yourself. Now, I love this leper because the guy, he must have been watching Jesus. You know, why would he do this? He's watching him. He's, you know, from a distance because he can't get near. But he's watching. He's going, look at that guy. He's loving people and healing people and helping people. And that's amazing. And I see something going on over there so much that he decided, I'm going to go see him. I'm going to break all the rules. I'm going to just go over there and see Jesus. And his eyes were off of himself, and now they're on to Jesus. And that's the next thing that we need to do in our lives. One of the most beautiful things about this story is that we get to see the great compassion of Jesus. The compassion of our Lord. Look at the picture with me. In chapter 1, in verse 40, the leper came and kneeling said, if you will, you can make me clean. Now read the phrase carefully because the leper doesn't say, yeah, if you want to, I guess you can make me clean. I mean, you know, if you want to, go ahead. That's not what he says. He says, if you're willing, I know you're able. See, the question isn't whether Jesus is able. The question is whether he's willing. You know, I know you can do this. I've seen you heal other people. I know you can do this. My question is, are you willing? Do you care? And in verse 41, moved with compassion, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing. Be clean. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus is moved with compassion. It's almost like the story is here to see not just the power of Jesus, but the heart of Jesus. And what if you could see the heart of Christ? Well, you're seeing it right here. His heart is moved with compassion. It's the same word that's used in the story of the prodigal son. When the prodigal son has gone and wasted his inheritance, and finally he's about to die, and he says, I'm going to go home to my dad, and he starts on his way home. And the Bible says, the father saw him from a far distance, and he was moved with compassion. His own son, his own flesh and blood, He loved this kid. He's moved with compassion for him. That's the exact same word that's used of Jesus. He sees you coming. The leper came. You come, just as you are. And he's moved with compassion. Isn't that beautiful? That's the reception that Jesus gives. Not only is he moved with compassion, but he stretched out his hand. He stretched out his hand all the way, all the way, all the way. And he touched. He didn't have to. Because we know from other miracles, Jesus could have just spoken the word. He could have said, okay, be healed. Because I really don't want to come over there and touch your leprous body. So he'd just speak the word and he'd be healed. Jesus said, no, that's not good enough. I'm going to reach out. I bet you this guy hasn't been touched in a long time. I'm going to reach out. I'm going to grab on to him. That's what he did. I always imagine this scene and people gasping, you know. Because this is a leper. They're like backing up, like, get back, disease, get back. And Jesus is moving towards him. Everyone else is moving the other way. And then Jesus reaches out his hand. And I can imagine all the people in slow motion in their mind going, no, don't do it. Alarms are going off. Guard towers are putting searchlights. They're letting the attack dogs go. This is the neutral zone. Nobody crosses. But Jesus does. Jesus does. And he reaches out and he reaches out and he touches this guy. And he's healed. And you know, in the Bible, if you touch a leper, you become a leper. Like you become unclean, but not Jesus. Jesus touches someone, they become clean. Isn't that beautiful? I love that. That's the heart of Jesus. I had a guy come in to the service one time, not in this building, right during the sermon. And this guy walked in the back door, and he was a homeless guy that I'd seen around town, and total alcoholic. I mean, the guy just reeked. You know, I talked to him a few times. He just reeked, and he just was filthy, and he had like a cloud around him, and it was really tough going. And we're like right in the middle of church, like right now in this moment, and the guy just opens the back door and walks in and starts walking down the center aisle. Now, this is in the day before we had security teams. Today, he would have been tackled. I'm just saying. But in that day, he just walked down the center aisle, and people are like, you know, they could smell him before they saw him. And they're just like this. You know, he's walking down the center aisle. I'm like, well, I wonder how this is going to play out. And so I just walked down. I met him at the third row, and I just put my arms around him, and I hugged him. And I said, I'm so glad you're here. Can we just pray for you right now? And I asked the people around me to pray for him. And it was kind of intense. And I felt like kind of proud of myself. I'm like, oh, that was kind of cool. You know, that was cool. I mean, hey, we reached out to this guy. And I felt like the Lord said to me, you know, a little bit later, you never hugged him when he was on the street. You know, I had to bring him down the center aisle here for you to have compassion on him. Today, he would have been tackled by a security guy. But Jesus is going out. Jesus is going and touching people and having compassion on people. All that's a picture. It's just a picture. Do you know that the miracles of Christ in the Gospels are all there to be a sign to you of the reality of Jesus? They point beyond themselves to some great, deep truth about Jesus. And that's what's going to build our faith. How is it that Jesus can heal a leper? How is it that Jesus can forgive that sinner, that sinful man? How can he do that? They said, you can't forgive him. Who gives you the right to forgive? They're sitting there, they're thinking, look, we got no temple here. We're in Galilee. We got no priest, and we got no sacrifice. You can't forgive. You need those things to forgive. And Jesus says, no. There's a new reality. It's a gospel reality. Jesus says, I am the sacrifice. I am the priest. I am the mediator between God and man. Mark 10:45, Jesus said, I have not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. That's the gospel truth. That's the power of the gospel. That's what's being pointed to in all this. Do you know the compassion of Christ? Now, step number two is you need to put your eyes on Jesus. Do you know why? Because when you see Jesus for who he is, your faith will follow. Your faith will follow. This is fascinating to me. Jesus says to the disciples and Peter, go to Galilee and I'll meet you there. But why? Why go to Galilee? You know, when the early church first exploded onto the scene, it wasn't in Galilee, it was in Jerusalem. Remember that? Jerusalem. Because 40 days after the resurrection, they're back in Jerusalem, and Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost with the disciples, preaches a sermon, 3,000 people come to Christ. That's amazing. That's a new beginning. It was in Jerusalem. Well, then why the detour? Why go back to Galilee? You know why? Because the disciples needed to have their vision of Jesus renewed on a personal level. They had failed the Lord. Now it's time to renew that vision on a personal level. And that's exactly what happened. They went up there. Jesus spent time with Peter. Jesus appeared to the disciples. This is where they first followed Jesus. This is where they saw Jesus compassionate, loving, caring, healing, and Jesus wants them to know, I'm the same Lord, and now I'm risen, and I'm with you, and I'll go before you. Get your eyes off yourself. Put your eyes on me, says Jesus. And your faith will rise up. Here's what I found in my life. In order to live out a pattern of new beginnings in my life, I have to have a fresh vision of Jesus in my life. It can't be yesterday's, last week's, last month's, last year's. Can't be. Has to be new. I have to be seeking Jesus and seeing Jesus. And I'm not just talking about mystically by the Holy Spirit, though I am sort of talking about that too. But really what I'm talking about is as I see him in the gospel, as I see him here, and that becomes alive to me. That's who I know and love and trust and believe. Now I have the hope of a new beginning in my life. That's step number two. We'll talk more about that in the next few coming weeks. How about step number three? Here's a final point for the sermon today. Step number three is this. You got to take a risk. You have to take a risk. The leper took a risk. Said, I'm going to go down there. It's against the rules. Doesn't matter. I'm doing it anyway. Well, he might reject you. Doesn't matter. I'm going anyway. Got to take a step. Got to take a risk. The paralytic guy, his friends drug him in. They just drug him in front of Jesus. His friends took a risk. Somebody's got to take a risk. You know, last Sunday morning at the 11:30 service, there was a man who came up after the sermon. I was over here just singing the last song with everybody worshiping. And this guy came up to me and said, I have to talk to you right now. And I said, well, can we just like wait to the end of the song? No. Right now. I went, okay. We walked out into the hallway, and he said, I have to tell you, I found Jesus Christ. Like right here, right now, today, I found faith in Christ in this service. I get it. He started crying. He said, I'm only here because somebody just begged me to come. I'm just like passing through town. I just came here today. Somebody asked me, they invited me, and I came here. And I get it. I've struggled with cancer for 4 years. I've had no faith in my life. And for the first time in my life, I get it. And I have faith in Jesus. And he started just weeping. And I just put my arm around him and prayed with him. Isn't that amazing? What a beautiful story. There's a new beginning for you, right? That's a new beginning. It's powerful. Well, somebody took a risk. Somebody made an invitation. Somebody believed that Jesus would show up, and they took a step. There is no new beginning without humility, honesty, looking at Jesus, and taking a risk. That's how it all begins. We're going to build on those things in the next few weeks. But you need to start today. The worship team is going to come forward. I'm going to say a prayer. And then after this song,